You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Thursday, July 19th, International Thursday.
It is International Thursday.
That doesn't have any alliteration rhyming to it.
There's nothing to that, no. That's not going to be a thing.
go back to Dr. Nama and Cheese Aisle Thursday and get lost in the cheese department at the grocery store.
I might have to do that on Facebook. It's pictures of cheese.
It is the Coffee Hour. In studio today, Paul Flo is a seminary and Concordia Seminary St. Louis student and recent vicar to the Dominican Republic. And I think a voice you might recognize from here. Okay, if you've always been on before.
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago before you left.
You're right. Shortly before I took off, I think.
Welcome back. You didn't even pick up an accent while you were there.
I still sound the same. It's crazy. I don't know why.
Welcome back to the studios. Welcome back to the U.S.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Excited really nice. To pack into 12 minutes here what you learned on your vicarage for 2 years in the Dominican Republic.
12 minutes. Here we go.
Knock it out of the park. What was the highlight of your vicarage in the Dominican Republic?
Well, I think that probably the picking up Spanish and eventually with the Spanish being able to connect with the people. There's the huge language barrier that it was really humbling to experience that, to be totally stripped of any sort of knowledge, stories, sense of humor that you might have. That's one thing I really reflected on a lot is that our identity is so wrapped up into our ability to speak. And so when you have that taken away, it's just, you've got nothing.
Telling me.
After getting that a little bit, being able to connect with the people was really, really nice, really fun.
Did you know any Spanish before you went, or was it like total immersion when you got there?
Total immersion, mostly. I mean, I had back in high school, 12 years ago now, something like that. A couple. So I had a couple key vocabulary words buried down in the brain somewhere, but
agua.
Yeah, I learned it's hard to have a conversation when you only know about three words. So
yeah.
So yeah, it was a big challenge, but very, very fun.
And one of them is the bathroom, right?
So that's right. You got to know
how to ask for the bathroom.
That's
true.
Right. That's
I still remember that one from back in high school.
So how do you say where's the bathroom?
¿Dónde está el baño?
Nice.
Yes.
Look at that.
I know that one.
You ready to go to the DR?
Sweet. I can go. what were your expectations before you went? And was this something that did you want to do an international vicarage, or was it something that happened and then you were like, okay, that's cool, I'll do it?
I think it was mostly the second one, because I actually didn't even know that was a possibility. It wasn't on my radar at all. And my fieldwork church is Village Lutheran, and Ross Johnson is a member there, and he approached me one day, I think it was after I had led a Bible study or something, and for whatever reason, he said, I'm wondering if you'd be open to an international vicarage. I did an international vicarage. I think you would be a good fit for it. Is that something you're open to? And I said, sure. So, I was just thinking very practically at the time. I thought one extra year isn't very much in the long run, and I could pick up Spanish, hopefully, and I could have an extra year to save up some money to pay for my last year of SEM, and so why not, So just some practical reasons. I didn't have a huge travel bug at the time, but I was open to it, and that's where I ended up. So, yeah.
Outstanding. I'm mesmerized. I'm just sitting here listening and I realize it's my turn to get to ask the question. So learn some Spanish. Anything else that you learned? Any other skills that you picked up or?
Other than the kind of crucial core skills that the vicarage is supposed to ideally develop, preaching, teaching Bible studies, doing home visits, things like that. So, yeah, I think that all of that was a part of the package, and of course that's the most important in terms of pastoral formation.
Who was key in your vicarage? Who did you get to interact with on a daily basis?
Joel Fritchie, Pastor Joel Fritchie, he was my supervising pastor, so I was really blessed, very, very fortunate to work under him, a really nice, helpful, hardworking pastor. But at the same time, it was one of the extra benefits of being on the mission field was that I had, and instead of just one supervising pastor, I felt like I had, five or six, because we all kind of work as a team there, and we have quite a bit of contact with each other. So Joel Fritchie would have been first, primary, and then after that, people like Pastor Ted Cray, Pastor Sergio Maita from Venezuela, Pastor David Preuss, quite a few people down there, which was a really nice added blessing to have so much good feedback and so much, so many opportunities to learn from a variety of people.
Yeah. So being on a mission field, in a mission field, on a mission field, in...
Depends on what language you're speaking.
Well, that's true. Yeah. as a vicar, what were you able to do? I mean, obviously you're preaching or learning the routine of the services and Bible study and those types of things, but was there anything additional that you were able to do being in a unique location in the DR?
Well, I think that maybe some extra added kind of aspects of learning that took place for me were things like church planting and mm-hmm. and also just kind of working on a team and learning kind of the ins and outs of things like, well, during my time there, for example, we started a seminary in the Dominican.
Oh, that's true.
And I wasn't a part of the real kind of taking action, but I was there for the dialogue. And so that was kind of fun to have the insider scoop on what goes into planning everything that's necessary for something like a seminary. Mm-hmm. So that was a good learning experience for me. I kind of just sat and listened and observed and learned a lot. So yeah, some added things like that I don't think would have been normal vicarage experiences mm-hmm. for the average person.
Had you had much experience in Latin America prior to this?
No, I went to Cancun, Mexico one time.
So, a lot of field experience.
Oh,
right
yeah,
there.
tons. All on the cruise ship. It was great.
Adequately prepared you for this.
Yeah, right.
So tell me about life in Latin America, the culture, and being a guy from the Midwest, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, from St. Louis area.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. There were lots of cultural differences. Some of the ones that kind of stood out the most and I never really got over were like the different ideas about time. So the lack of punctuality there was really challenging for me to get used to. So I just got used to just carrying a book around with me because I knew that I was always going to have to sit around and wait for at least half an hour, probably more like an hour. And I would just read, practice my Spanish and, you know, so things like that. Communication styles are a little different. So sometimes it was hard to get maybe a direct message from somebody. It tends to be a little more of a shame culture down there. So I think that sometimes instead of people telling you, no, I can't make it, I'm sorry, they would just kind of avoid the topic. And so you kind of feel like you're left hanging a little bit. So you learn to kind of navigate some of those little cultural differences. And there's very positive flip sides that come to those same aspects. But then there's also the challenges of coming from a background that's totally different and trying to learn how to adjust. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, those would be...
How did you adapt to food and food customs?
Well, the food down there is lots of fried chicken, lots of rice, and lots of beans. Mm-hmm. They call it el plato del día, the plate of the day, and that's basically what it is, chicken, rice, and beans. And I loved that for about 3 weeks, and then I thought, I have to expand my food horizons here because I cannot survive eating this for 2 years. So I did a lot of cooking, my own cooking, and they've got good grocery stores down there. So it wasn't too hard to find really good fresh fruits and veggies and things like that.
How do you think these experiences are going to help you moving forward into a pastoral vocation? And do you think you want to go back international?
Yeah, good question. That's something that I've been processing quite a bit, and will continue to process that. And at this point, what I've told the pastors down in that region is that I'm open to returning in the future, but not for my first call, I think. I think I'm ready to stay in the States for a little while. However, the top priority for me is still staying connected with the Spanish-speaking church. So I just met with the placement director at the Concordia Seminary a little while ago, Glenn Nielsen, and I was telling him that my priority would be in a kind of a bilingual situation if possible, mm-hmm. so I can continue to use the Spanish and hopefully stay very connected with some of the people that I built relationships down there with.
Fascinating. There's just so many opportunities to lie ahead. So you're back in seminary for traditionally fourth year, fifth year, whatever we want to call it.
Whatever it is.
Last year?
Super senior year?
Super senior. That's right.
So what does this year entail now that you're back at seminary? More studies, right?
Yep, more studies. One more year in the classroom. I think my load's a little bit lighter this last year because I took extra classes the first couple of years to try to make this happen. So, and also since I've left, the curriculum is totally different, restructured at the seminary. We have semester systems instead of what it was before with the quarters. So that'll be interesting. I don't know exactly how that's going to affect me yet. All I know is that people are working hard to make sure that I do finish. So,
well, that's good.
Get me out of this. I'm going to get this guy out. But so it will work and it will end my time there. I just don't know exactly how that's going to happen.
You will get to call day eventually.
I will, I think, be a pastor at some point.
That's good.
Yeah.
great.
So what do you get to study this year?
I've got some courses lined up for exegetical courses with studying. I think I've got a class on Isaiah and John this coming semester. And one thing that I'm most excited about is homiletics courses. So I've got a good class coming up with Dr. Schmidt, David Schmidt, for homiletics, because coming back from the mission field, and not just the mission field, but just vicarage, you realize what certain aspects you need work on. And I think with preaching, there's lots of things to learn and to grow in. And it's such a crucial aspect of ministry because you're doing it all the time. So so that's one thing that I'm excited about improving.
Do you want to practice preaching in English and in Spanish this year?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I have asked Dr. Sanchez, he's at the seminary, about plugging into some Spanish-speaking groups there so I can continue to work toward that, to being able to maintain what I've got with the Spanish and continue to improve rather than letting everything slide away.
Got to use it so you don't lose it.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Paul Flo, he's a Concordia Seminary St. Louis student, recent vicar to the Dominican Republic, and a privilege to have you in studio to hear your story. And I'm sure there are a lot more stories that that you have to share from your time there. What a fantastic team that they have in the Dominican Republic. So a great place to do some learning and growing. Paul, thanks so much for being our guest in the Coffee Hour.
Thank you both for having me.
God's blessings on your studies.
Thanks.
Well, that does it for the Coffee Hour today. I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.